Weekend Breakfast
with Refilwe Mpakanyane
on 702 for the curious.
So here's something to watch out for. Parenting behaviors that we should just stop doing, right? Nikki Bush, our parenting expert and human potential expert, is issuing a cease and desist. Morning, Nikki. How's it going?
Good morning. Fine. Thank you, Refilwe.
Very well, thanks. So some of the parenting behaviors that we should actually just stop doing or do less of if we want to raise independent and emotionally smart children who can cope in the future. So these are behaviors essentially that are limiting, I'm guessing, not actually just for the children, but for us as well. Yeah,
absolutely. So Refilwe, what you just said in your intro is about one of the biggest goals in parenting is to raise children who will walk away and leave us one day and live independently of us. You really don't want 35-year-old children still living at home.
Yeah, or constantly needing mommy to rescue or daddy to rescue them from life. Yeah.
So, you know, we've spoken quite a lot around stress and anxiety and all those things and how easy it is to run in and rescue our children and not allow them to face the world on their terms.
Yes.
And Michael Gross, who is Australia's number one parenting educator, wrote the foreword for my new book, Future Proof Your Child.
Yes, it is.
And he is the author of 12 best-selling parenting books, including one called The Spoon-Fed Generation, which looks at some of these traps, parenting traps and behaviors that we do that really do sabotage our children.
Yeah. Well, run us through them, because I'm guessing, you know, you're going to talk us through this list, and some people are going to catch themselves and go, oh my goodness, I completely do that and I didn't know I was doing it. Or I do this because if I don't do it, then ABCD will never happen. Or if I don't do it, then, you know.
That's right. Yeah. So going to the number one problem that he observes in parents, and this is not just a local issue in South Africa. This is global.
Yeah.
And in fact, I bumped into a friend who is ex-South African living in Australia this week.
Yeah.
And she's an ex-teacher.
Yeah.
And she said, in Australia right now, there's this huge thing around depression and anxiety in kids.
Yeah.
Is it the same here? Mm-hmm. And because she has a teaching background, she said so much of this can actually be, diffused by parents in the early years.
Mm-hmm.
If we actually look at, interestingly, some of what I'm going to talk about
here
today.
Okay, cool. Let's do it.
So the first one is doing too much for our children. Okay. So teaching kids to fend for themselves is the number one thing that we need to teach our kids, to stand on their own two feet.
Yeah.
So it is the aim for all parents, and learning to delegate.
Yeah.
So giving children, I call it passing on the baton of responsibility to our children, is a very, very important life skill.
Mm-hmm.
And this starts in very ordinary ways around our homes with not doing all the chores by yourself.
And almost creating a rite of passage, right? So having that conversation saying, hey, listen, big girl, you are now big enough to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And the eyes light up and they say, really, mommy? And it's a badge of honor.
Absolutely. Yeah. So trusting and believing that your children can. Because if you're constantly doing everything for your kids or doing things around the house because you can do it quicker, better, faster.
Yeah.
I actually bumped into a dad a couple of years ago who had a 12-year-old and an 8-year-old. And he said that was the biggest mistake he made, because when he asked his kids at age 8 and 12 to start doing things around the house, they said, no, Dad, you do them better.
The shock, the horror. You do them better.
You do them better. We can't do them as well as you.
But the subconscious messaging is that actually you are unable, you're inept, or you don't have the wherewithal, right?
Exactly. That's not trusting they can. Mm. So here's an interesting one off his list. Confusing helping for responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, we all love it when our kids help at home, but this shouldn't be confused with taking responsibility.
Yes.
A child who gets himself up in the morning is learning to take responsibility. If you want a child to be responsible, give him real responsibility.
There we go.
Well, that's an interesting one. And I have to say, as a parent, I really battled with that one, is kids getting up in the morning. We tend to drive the process. We tend to make sure we wake them up when we want to wake them up, that they get up, that they get dressed, that they eat, that they do everything on time.
Mm-hmm.
Whew, it is such a gift when you have a child who can do it by themselves.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's hard not to drive the process, but I guess it's you need to find interesting ways or useful ways to make sure there are consequences, and then it clicks that actually now it's my job as a child to get ready in the morning, right?
Yeah. Right, so then winning arguments.
What's that about?
That's the need to win arguments and prove that you are right as the adult, mm-hmm. and it can harm relationships and create fertile ground for conflict. So we need to focus on things that matter.
Okay.
We cannot fight every battle on every front all of the time. Mm-hmm. We have to pick our battles, even if it's the hanging up the towel after the bath battle. Mm-hmm. You can't have 10 battles going on at once. Pick one for the week and get one habit right. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's also reminding children that they don't live in isolation. They live in the context of a family, whether that is one parent, one child, or whether it's a big family with three kids and two parents or a blended family. I know some families have five children and two parents because they've come from, you know, two different families, is that we actually need to respect each other's space as well.
Because it's shared, it's communal.
It's shared, it's communal. Yeah. Arranging the energy, this is my latest thing, because even with myself, now that I live alone, mm-hmm. I could get up in the morning and not make my bed. Who would know?
Yeah.
Who would know?
You would know.
I would know. But I've really thought about this. I am rearranging the energy every morning that I make my bed. I am intentionally mm-hmm. arranging the energy and directing the energy in my life by making my bed.
I like that phrase.
It is a choice.
Yeah.
And it is a choice to take control and command of what I can control and command.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there's most things out there you have no control over, but it starts with you, with that very first decision you make in the morning to make your bed. Mm-hmm. And kids need to do that. They need to learn that it starts close by. In my own bedroom, in my own bed, and the ripples will go out from there.
Yeah, that routine is, and that structure is so very important. The next one on your list, Nikki, is comparing siblings. This seems like a no-brainer, right? But it obviously happens.
It definitely
Why are parents
does.
Doing this?
Well, you know what it is. It's in the heat of the moment when one child is being awful or not toeing the line, and you kind of spit out, but you're... older brother would never have done this, or you know, it's that comparison. And we need to make sure that we actually treat our children as individuals. Yeah. And it's very, very important not to play favorites. Now, that's quite tricky because we are naturally usually drawn to certain personalities. Yeah. If you've got two children, there will be one who you connect with more easily than the other. And the other one you have to work at.
Yeah.
I've seen it in my own family. I saw it with my husband and my boys. Mm-hmm. You have very different relationships with each child.
Yeah. I mean,
and that's okay.
That's okay, and that's going to happen, but you need to be cognizant and very aware of what you're verbalizing and articulating, and setting or pitting children up against each other like that is an incredibly painful thing to do, especially for the sibling that doesn't add up in that moment or doesn't stack up in that moment, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So one of the tools that I find really, really useful is learning what your child's love languages are.
Lovely, yeah.
So my two children, for example, the one is a words of affirmation child. So talking to him, having conversations with him, he was the one who kept me up late at night as he became a teenager. Mm-hmm. That filled his emotional cup.
Yeah.
Whereas my youngest child wants acts of service. Mm-hmm. So me making him a meal or my mother making him biscuits for boarding school, he felt so loved.
You know, it's beautiful.
He doesn't want the long conversation.
Yeah.
That doesn't fill his cup.
He wants action.
So if you find out how to really connect with your kids, it becomes easier not to compare them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you build a completely different relationship that is defined by different characteristics with each child.
It's also a useful adult tool to know that actually relationships with people are not the same, right? So it can be one person, very different ways of relating. And they take that attitude and understanding into the workplace, into friendships, into school, into, into life.
Yeah. And that is actually emotionally an emotionally intelligent way of dealing with relationships. It's not a one-size-fits-all.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the same way as we teach our children, not everybody's going to like you, and you are not going to like everybody else.
There we go.
That's okay. Don't set them up for disaster by thinking that everybody is going to think they're fabulous.
Yeah.
They just aren't.
Nobody will love you the way mommy does. Now, expecting too little of them is something else that you're saying parents should not do, and that might also feed back into the first issue of doing too much for them, right? In some way.
In a way, yes. Yeah. So expectations are rather tricky. If you set the expectations too high, kids often give up. And we do fall into a trap of just as a child masters something, does well in a test, jumps over this level high jump, gets into XYZ team, we push the bar higher straight away before letting them actually enjoy where they're at.
And savor the moment.
And savor the moment, exactly.
Yeah.
And then if you pitch too low, kids will meet those and maybe not push further. So it's a very fine line. Once again, you need to tune into your children and, you know, where they're at.
I really, really think that's important. So overall, Nikki, if parents are doing this, and we've just done an audit of a behavior that needs to stop, right? What is the one thing you want to tell them? Because obviously you're human, you're fallible, you've made a mistake. How do you check yourself and check these behaviors as we wrap?
Well, I think it's always good to check in with another observer.
Yeah.
So whether it's a friend, if you're a single parent, or another family member, and if you are a couple, to give feedback on a regular basis.
Easy,
you know, just to really, really be have perspective, because we get so close to our children that sometimes we can't see the wood for the trees.
Absolutely. All right, let's take a look at our toy feature. This is a nifty one. It's the Air Hog Zero Gravity Laser Wall Climber. Long name, but such a nifty toy. Tell me about this. How did you come across this?
So Toy Talk is something I've been doing for about 13, 14 years now. I look at toy trends, what's new, hot and innovative in the market every single year. And my annual highly recommended Toy Talk list is about to be published.
Yes.
So we're starting to unpack what's hot and new for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this Air Hogs are very good at putting together remote control vehicles, aircraft, all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And this is a laser-controlled car.
Yeah.
So it comes with two pieces, the laser and the car. You switch on the car that's been charged.
And the laser is kind of like a traffic cop's laser gun, right? That you point at a surface.
Exactly. Yeah. So it creates the red light.
Yeah.
And then the car, do you want to switch it on? Do you want to play with it?
Let's hear a bit of
the
sound.
So it does actually, it's quite noisy. It goes up. Okay, so we've got this on the countertop in the studio, and the car follows the red laser beam, whether whether it's up a wall, a smooth wall.
You had it climbing the glass walls in the studio,
mirrors,
right? Mirrors,
glass,
as well.
Yeah, mirrors, windows, ceilings, floors.
That's amazing.
Really such fun. We've been playing with kids for the last couple of weeks with this. They go back to it again and again, and so do the adults.
Would absolutely love this. And I mean, in terms of like hand-eye coordination, motor skills, also just that concentration and the focus of now going, okay, the laser and the car and where do I want it to go, and just directing it.
Left,
really
right.
Awesome.
So you could do another exercise with children. Turn left, turn right, go straight, go, you know, turn around. You could turn it into an educational process if you want to.
Yeah.
So this is $6.99 in the stores, available at Toy Kingdom, at Toy Zone, and at Hamleys.
Yeah.
And I think this would make the most amazing Christmas gift for many, many children, boys, girls,
absolutely.
And of course the whole family is going to enjoy it as well.
Well, I know one little kid in my family that needs to have this. It is Christmas stocking. That's really, really fun.
So if our listeners want to go and have a look at it, I've posted it on the Toy Talk page on Facebook. So there's a photograph there, and you can go and have a squiz. And we will be releasing our list, our annual list, within the next probably about 2 weeks' time.
Fantastic. Looking forward to it. Nikki, we'll catch up again next week.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming in.